Chief Douglas McCloskey upon his retirement and recognizing his dedicated service to the city and borough of Wrangell. Whereas Doug McCloskey worked as a police officer at the Beaverhead County Sheriff's Department from 1981 to 1992, and whereas Doug McCloskey held a U.S. Merchant Marine Officer license with the U.S. Coast Guard from June 2001 to June 2012, and whereas Doug McCloskey moved to Wrangell in 1992 to become a Wrangell police officer, and whereas Doug McCloskey was appointed as Wrangell Chief of Police on June 1st, 2003, and whereas over the years, Doug McCloskey maintained a professional community policing department with the goal of public safety and helping the citizens of Wrangell. He worked with children as the DARE officer and as the Alaska Hunter Safety Instructor for many years. As police chief, he continued to work with school, with firearm safety, shooting, and shooting instruction. He regularly volunteered his time in non-police functions at the community events, such as using his massive self-made barbecue grill to cook, or by delighting our youth as a certain special someone. Chief McCloskey is a longtime supporter of the Wrangell chapter of the Alaska Peace Officers Association that can be found at the chicken booth every 4th of July. Chief McCloskey volunteered countless hours of his personal time at all hours of the day or night to help anyone with removing porcupine quills from dogs or with humane euthanasia of sick or elderly pets. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Stephen Prusanka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby recognize and honor Doug McCloskey upon the occasion of his retirement. I'd like to also add that Doug is responsible, and folks may not remember this, but Doug is responsible for bringing to our community the police boat, the vehicles, literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants that Doug sat on committees and was able to secure for us. We can't say enough about his efforts over the years to make sure that this department was well outfitted and supported. And we really appreciate everything that you've done for Wrangell, Doug. Thank you. Come on up here. I'll sign this and give this to you right now.
Speech.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Thank you. All right. There you go. Got a fan in the audience there. Roll call, please, Kim.
All right. Assembly members Gilbert. Here. Morrison. DeLong. Decker.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoard.
Here.
And Mayor Prusanka.
Here. Is there any, persons to be heard? Lee Dozier wanted to speak tonight on the medical center and do an invocation as well. So you want to speak on a public hearing item, which item that was?
Yes, it's just the item here on the
Ordinance 964.
Right, 964.
Ordinance 964.
Yep.
You can speak at that time if you'd like to, or you can speak about it now, and if you'd like to do an invocation and then speak about it, it's your choice. If you want to wait till we get to that item, or you can do the invocation and speak on your item.
I'll go ahead and just do all three.
Can you come up to the podium for us? Thank you.
For the record, my name is Jennifer Lee Dozier, and I'm a Wrangell resident of Wrangell. And it's an honor with Chief Doug McCloskey, because I also feel that this is what America is about, and we're going into our 4th of July, which is a big deal. So I just wanted to go ahead and, with an invocation, just again, just ask if we could all just remember a moment of honor to those that have gone before us, that have secured the freedoms for us, that continue to make progress and move forward even against adversity to maintain and secure the things that have both been brought on board, and continue to keep the intention true for the safety of our children in our communities and our country. Thank you for taking a moment with me, and thank you again.
And Ms. Dosh, did you want to speak to that item now, or did you want to wait till we... you had down here that you wanted to speak regarding the medical center?
I just would like to go ahead and speak now because I'm at the podium, and I'll just keep this brief. It's a beautiful evening. I think we can all be very thankful, and I know that it's come up before. I just thought of a suggestion possibly because the medical center is still a place that there might be different controversies. I myself am a veteran, and I know as a veteran comes on, there's $500 a pop ahead right there. However, we don't have any licensed for the kind of counsel that myself as a veteran and other veterans might possibly need. There is social certificates, but this causes a little bit of a difficulty, and I thought that it might be worthwhile to note that if there's something that we as a community, because understanding not under the borough or the city of Wrangell anymore, search has authority, that we can actually have some kind of an operandi, that we can come together and say, well, this works or this doesn't, or this is where we can request or work with search for what works for our community specifically, especially since there's so many differences within the extremes of our specific community here. And Wrangell is unique, and we support the uniqueness of it, and we want to keep that clean and good, even though it's under federal now. We want to, I think, still allow that. And just in brief, one of the reasons for that I also say is because my mother, who lives here, I was the power of attorney as well as the next of kin for her emergency, and she was medevaced, and I wasn't informed. And when I went to the hospital, I was told that I would not be given that information. And when I was able to go to Anchorage and she was okay, but I came back, I did speak with the hospital, but it somehow, quote, misunderstood in the communications. And I think this is the kind of thing that we need to feel safe in our communities for. And ones like our Chief Doug McCloskey has said, we want to feel safe. Veterans and returning soldiers need to allow for a safety in community. And it needs to be, we have done our job. And there might be miscommunications or understandings that are put out into the community, but we need an opportunity to be also heard. Thank you for taking your time to listen and allowing me to speak. And that's my suggestion, to have a separate opportunity as an operandi that we as a community can address issues that might come up now that we will not have a medical board or Wrangell citizens able to vote on issues that involve us in the medical center.
Yvette, I'm going to just take a second just to clarify a couple things for you. One is that we do have a community board. That is the former AICS board and the hospital, some of the hospital board members do, they're the advisory board. So that is available for you to speak to. The second thing is the tribe is doing a survey right now, and it's for community-wide. It's not just for tribal members, but community-wide. And I would encourage you to, I don't know if you have access through social media or to speak to the tribe. I don't have the web, the address for the survey, but there's a survey that they're conducting for tribal and non-tribal members regarding some of the questions are regarding healthcare, but also just the general direction of the community. I would really encourage you to make sure your voice gets heard about your concerns. There's a place where you can write in your feedback. So please take advantage of both those. And thank you for speaking tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor Prasanka. I appreciate that direction, and I'll look forward to that.
Okay.
And happy 4th of July, all of us. Now.
Thank you. Happy 4th of July to you. Is there any, that's it for person to be heard. Okay. Any amendments to the agenda? None. Any conflicts of interest? Okay. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
It's been moved. Second. We have a second. Assemblymember Powell seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Borough Manager's Report. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just actually sent out a KYP about 15 minutes prior to the meeting, but I'll go over those items here just briefly for the Assembly. The first is the KYP included a copy of the Federal Lobbyist Second Quarter Report, and there are a handful, three or four items within that report to which there was a staff update. So you will see in orange lettering below that update from the lobbyist what's going on locally that we're doing with regard to that. And then just let myself know if you have any questions or comments regarding information on the lobbyist report. This morning, a number of the department directors spent time with three members of the Corps of Engineers who are here in town addressing a variety of issues. They're here all week. And we met with them on basically every issue related to borough business that needs to be addressed. Two primary issues that were discussed this morning were the industrial park. The borough has a permit for the industrial park that has to be reissued in order for us to do the road expansion project that we want to do. And they have to, by regulation, hold that permit up from reissuance until everybody within the industrial park that owns private property has a permit. And there are several people that do not have the appropriate permits. So they're going to be working with those residents to try to address that issue. But we will not be able to move forward with that road enhancement project because we won't have a permit until that is dealt with. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But our staff did offer every bit of assistance we could to help work with the community as a, you know, a liaison with the Corps to help folks work through that that permitting process. They're not trying to hold anything up. They just have to address this issue and make sure that everybody's got a permit. The other issue that was good to hear is that once an area has been filled, it is no longer considered wetlands. Now, technically, things have to be in continuous use, but so long as a property that has not been in use, that was filled, has not returned back to its wetland state, it's still not considered wetlands. So the area where we are considering this phase one residential subdivision development out at the old Institute property may not need to have a Corps of Engineers permit for us to move forward. And we need to do some, technically you would think you would need to do a wetlands delineation. They actually said if you go out and look at the vegetation that's out there to determine that it is not wetlands type vegetation, most of it's alders, which is not considered to be able to grow in water. And you do a couple of other things, maybe some test holes in a couple of areas, and you certify that information on the appropriate forms, they will accept that from a non-engineer. So I asked specifically if there had to be any special certification from somebody doing the review of the property, and they said no. So that may be one hurdle we do not have to overcome with regard to that project, and that's very exciting. I reported to you yesterday that the State of Alaska Department of Commission on Human Rights has issued a closure letter for one of the complaints that was filed by an employee of the former Wrangell Medical Center when it was under the ownership of the borough. And one of the things I failed to report to you guys yesterday is that there is a 30-day appeal time frame for that person to be able to file in Superior Court, and that date will be the 19th of July. That'll be the 30 days. So obviously we'll keep you posted on that. And there is still one outstanding complaint that I don't have a timeline on. Some of you, perhaps mostly Assemblymember Gilbert, may be wondering where the 2018 audit is, as are all of us wondering where the heck it is. And as I said in my, I only say that because she's our numbers guru. It's a little embarrassing that we don't have an audit to hand you prior to the start of the fiscal year. And it took a little rattling today from Lee. I was asking him some questions about stuff, and he said he would get a hold of the auditors, and he did, and they finally got a response back to him that they would have the audit to us on the 16th of July. Now, we have a stipulation in our USDA rural development grant and loan for the water plant that we have to have an audit to them by the end of June. We get confirmation today from them that it would be okay for us to get that to them late. So we expect to have the audit to you on the meeting that we have in July. So I apologize for that delay, but BDO is woefully behind on providing us that information.
BDO appears to be woefully behind on quite a few things, and I'm starting to wonder if we should be looking at another auditing company. I'm I'm getting nervous when your auditor is having a tough time producing reports on time. That's usually not a good sign. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that we'd be dinged for, not having timely responses to our things.
Right.
So I would recommend that maybe we take a look at a new auditor coming moving forward.
I'll take a look and see. I think I'm not sure what our contract is with them right now. If it's year to year right now, we'll take a look at that.
The other thing is that the school, I remember them also reporting issues with BDO, and if we're going to do a change, look at the whole scale change between the different systems, because we pay a lot of money for this auditing, and we deserve some service for it. And it's just bad that your auditor's late. It's just not a good thing.
So Vice Mayor Gilbert and the mayor and myself met with Sherry Klein from the federal delegation's office last Thursday and just went over a number of issues, and she's responded to some. And actually, we have more of an update in the federal lobbyist report as well, so those things are being addressed. I also attended the SEPA board meeting last week, and two things of importance for Wrangell, actually three things of importance to Wrangell. The first is that the board approved the payment, the repayment or the reimbursement of the diesel run to Wrangell and Petersburg, so that's good. I was very clear at the meeting, though, that what was not included in that was the cost of oil for the generators and the fully loaded rate of our employees' overtime. And although what was approved was just the straight overtime rate and the diesel reimbursement, less the 6.8 cents a kilowatt hour we would have paid had we been buying power, they did leave it open that both Wrangell and Petersburg have the option to file a claim for the additional money if we want. So that's something that the assembly will need to provide guidance on. I don't know what the difference in staff money is. Probably several thousand dollars, but it's about $100,000 in oil. So
I can maybe speak to that a little bit. When I made the recommendation to the SEPA board, I said the cost of diesel and manpower and the overtime for the manpower. I had no idea about this oil business being $100,000. No idea. So out of fairness, my ignorance, I didn't understand that was going to be such a hefty thing. The board was never familiar with that. But when I presented the cost of the labor, I was absolutely assuming that was fully loaded. Absolutely assuming. Why would I ask for overtime for staff and not include the benefit from that? So, as a matter of fact, when they put it together, they came back, because we put in for fully loaded when we did our reimbursement. Petersburg didn't, so they said that they weren't going to do fully loaded because Petersburg didn't. So I think asking for the cost of the oil, I never proposed that when I put together the initial package. I had no idea it would be as much money as it was, but I definitely did propose, as far as I was concerned, the cost of the employment is the cost of employment. So I don't know. I think the board would react negatively being asked, what do you think, for the oil?
If I had to guess, I would say it probably wouldn't be looked upon for the oil.
I would ask for it just to have it on the record. If this happens again, I'd establish that on the record.
So if you guys would like, I can put this as an agenda item on, because I think there may need to be a little bit more discussion about that. So I'll add this to the next agenda.
Okay.
I have a couple other items. Just let me make a note here. I do want to let everybody know that both reservoirs are still spilling, which is great, but we are coming into what appears to be 9 to 10 days or more of no rain. And many of those days are very high temperatures, in the mid to high 70s. The lowest temperature I see on my information is 67 degrees in terms of highs over the next 9 to 10 days. So out of an abundance of caution, even though when it was raining and we were spilling like crazy over both reservoirs, we stayed on water watch. We did make an announcement to the community saying this is a great time for you to use water and do all your outside stuff that you need to do. So I'm going to ask the community opportunity to back off of that. And please be mindful, we're on stage one, it is voluntary, but please be mindful of the fact that we are now in the height of fish processing season, and with 10 days of dry weather, we're going to be probably using up more water than the inflows that are coming in. So we just please ask the community to start using water wisely again and be prudent. And we thank them for their efforts early on when we first went on Water Watch, because that dropped the gallons per minute use by more than 100 gallons. So thank you to the community.
Lisa, how are they keeping up with the maintenance of the filters with the increase?
Right.
We're up to almost 700 gallons a minute, right?
No issues right now. We had our water meeting on Monday, and no problems right now.
And do they anticipate they're going to need any more labor? I'd asked this question in an email earlier.
That has not. I mean, Roland is here, but my assumption is the answer to that is any more labor for filter maintenance?
No, with the plunging efforts, it's a two-man show.
I mentioned in a previous KYP to you that the Customs is losing their spot out at the airport, and Customs and Border Patrol, if they provide a service to your port or your airport, require, this is a federal issue, require that you provide office space for them. Because they are losing their space at the airport, and because the vast majority of the work they do here in Wrangell is port-related, not airport-related, they have asked the borough to provide space for them. Chief McCloskey had informed me previously that we had office space up at the public safety building, so we have offered that up, and he does not know this because shortly after he walked out of my office this afternoon when I was on the phone, I had another call from the folks in Anchorage, and they are going to try to be down here on the 1st and 2nd to look at that office space. Unfortunately, the chief will not be here. So I'm hopeful that he and Amber and I can meet on this issue tomorrow to take care of that.
It was the suggestion in our meeting of the federal building that they could use their own office.
We'll talk with them about that as an option as well. We'll see if that's a possibility. And one of the things that actually Kim and I talked about tonight is, and we'd just like to get some feedback from the Assembly. It seems silly on nights when we do not have a work session to wait until 7 o'clock to start a meeting.
You're here.
So what we are proposing is that we offer a code amendment, bring an ordinance to you, offering a code amendment that would say Assembly meetings will begin at 6 o'clock unless there is a work session preceding it, and then the work session would start prior to that, and then the meeting would start, it would begin following the work session or at 7 o'clock. We'll bring some recommended language to you. But if everybody's given a head nod, we'll do that. Okay. And then finally, I wanted to let you know, I have to take care of some estate, some business of my father's estate in Anchorage on a Thursday and part of Friday. So I'm going to travel to Anchorage on Thursday, and I'll go to Valdez because I haven't been there in a couple of months and see my mom. So I'll be back on Tuesday. I will, of course, be working while I'm gone. So if you need anything, all you need to do is let me know, and Kim will be acting and can get a hold of me at any moment. So that's all I've got.
Any questions for Lisa? Julie.
The community meeting on the water issue?
I will get that rescheduled. Yeah. It's on the list. I apologize. And may I have a quick do-over?
Yep, you bet.
I just want to get feedback from the Assembly members. I sent, over the last couple of days, two RFPs, one for the salary study, or the compensation study that the Assembly has asked for, and one for investment management services. I have had some feedback from Assembly Member Gilbert changing the dates on the RFP for to extend those a little bit on the compensation study to account for the 4th of July holiday. I haven't heard back from anybody else. If I don't, I'd like to get both of those out this week. Okay. And I pirated some of the language for the salary compensation study from Ketchikan, so I'm going to reach out from the KGB. So I'm going to reach out to their manager and see if they would share the names of the firms that responded to their RFP, and we can do some direct email solicitation to those firms in addition to posting it. And Lee has a short list of folks who have reached out to him about interest in doing management, so we will put those folks on the list and do direct email of that RFP. Oh, I'm also, I think I sent this out in an email, I'm happy to report that we have a new finance director. And I am not 100% certain that she has given notice yet, so I'm withholding announcement of who that person is, but we are very excited. And if all goes well, she'll be on board the 24th of July.
I have a couple of questions on water. Have we moved the siphon to the center of the upper reservoir? And it's, so it's out there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, the bypass project, where I'd like a regular update on that as we go along, because that's been a long-standing project. So I'd like to know where we're at with that today.
I know that Amber has been waiting for some stuff from Shannon and Wilson, the engineering firm in Anchorage, and she was going to reach back out to them. So we'll get a report to you.
Okay. And I'd just like to make that project, I'd like an update on that regularly just for the assembly, because we've been talking about that for at least 3 years or 4 years.
Actually five, I believe, because we had to request an amendment on the time frame of the grant.
That only makes it worse. The other thing is, I'm curious. It takes us 400 in order to produce 300,000 gallons of water, takes 175 gallons of water just to make 306 gallons of water. And I'm curious if like plants have a similar equation, because that seems so high to me in terms of the actual percent of volume of water. And I'd like us to look into that to understand better, because I think if we find out that, you know, that's almost close to 40%. Patty, help me out there. I just think that's a whack of water to produce water. And I would be curious if other plants, I think it'd be worth a call to say, this is what we're doing to produce. And I understand our turbidity may be different and the sediment and this and that, but just to see if there's anything we can do to decrease the amount of water utilized to produce the water. I know we recapture some of it. You want to come up? Lisa, do you mind if...
Oh, no.
Part of it is we can't ask another plant. I don't think there's another sand filter plant in the world that processes above ground water. It's made for an aquifer.
So you know that there's nobody else?
I don't know of any.
Okay.
That I know of other sand filters, slow sand filter plants, but they're all aquifer fed. Another thing with this plant is we've pretty much done as much efficiency upgrades as we can. It just wastes a lot of water. It's a bad design. I think on a normal day we waste 200,000 gallons to make town consumption.
Make what?
The consumption, the production versus consumption.
Oh yeah, no, I see it.
It's awful.
It's 175,000 gallons of water. Okay, so you're saying there's nothing else you can do.
We can tinker around with stuff, but nothing. I don't think anything significant from here on out is going to matter up there.
Okay, that's the response. That's it.
Jim, where do we stand with the new treatment plant? Have you heard anything on that?
We got an email from our federal lobbyist on Monday saying that Senator Sullivan's office had checked in, and Senator Sullivan's office was told an announcement would be coming soon, that there were just a couple of other things that needed to be taken care of. And I said to Seb, our lobbyist, that's great, because there was an email this morning from USDA and EDA asking for other stuff, and so we are dealing with that. Part of the issue is, and I hate to be long-winded, I apologize, but the preliminary engineering review recommended that we do on-site treatment of the backwash water in the new system on-site. And The concern with that is that it requires a significant bump up to the certification of the treatment operator that we have from a level 2 to a level 4.
It depends on design. Just as it's written.
Can you
go that's okay. Just essentially, that's what it. There were other alternatives in the preliminary engineering review that included instead of on-site treatment, sending it to our existing wastewater treatment plant, so they could just go out through that treatment system and out it goes. And because that was the most expensive option. The EDA said, put the most expensive option in there because all you have is a preliminary engineering review. And when you do final design, you may decide that that's what you want to go with. And if you haven't put that in your EDA design, then we won't fund it. You would be required to fund that extra money on your own. So that's what Carol and Amber did. Now USDA has come back and said, oh, by the way, you gave EDA something different than we have. The two projects don't marry up because what your preliminary engineering review recommends is that you do the on-site treatment. So Amber has been working diligently to squish everything together to make sure that it now matches. And so we're dealing with that in a handful of other questions. And we hope that these final questions will take care of everything.
So realistically, we've been talking about this plant for a long time. We think we have the grant, but we keep getting kind of jacked around on the grant. I mean, we could be talking 3+ more years of this plant having to function, I think conservatively.
Sure.
And so, I really think we need to be looking at this plant in terms of trying to make it as efficient as we can. I'm just worried that we're banking on that this new plant's going to show up here real fast, and it's just not. I mean, and we don't even know. Ultimately, they could still do. I guess, are we assured we're going to get the money for the new plant? At this point, has someone signed off and said, $6 million? I see Amber shaking her head. No.
No.
So we're not even assured that we have this new plant.
No.
Okay.
Not until we have a grant agreement signed.
Okay. Other questions for Lisa?
Okay.
Borough Clerk's file.
Nothing in addition to what's in my report. Just I included our election calendar. So we have looks like we have 2 3-year terms for the assembly and 2 1-year terms for the assembly. We have 2 3-year port commission seats and 2 3-year school board seats. And as of right now, we have 1 school board unexpired term until 2020.
Mr. Mayor, I apologize. I have another
due. You're just, boy, it's your meeting tonight, isn't it?
No.
What time did you want to get out of here?
Yeah, you're wrecking my bed.
I forgot to talk about 2 other important things on the SEPA meeting agenda. The second is that SEPA announced that based on lake levels, which are well below what last year's lake levels were, and based on what the potential for inflows is because of weather predictions, that they do not believe that there will be any sales south at all this year to Ketchikan. Now, what that doesn't preclude is power being sent back and forth to maximize the efficiency of the system as a whole. So you will see power going south, but an equal amount of power will be coming north at appropriate times to offset. So I just wanted to let people know that that was announced at the meeting. And the final thing is that the board took action on the wholesale power rate. Again, it was approved at 6.8 cents per kilowatt hour. And that is no change, and it's been no different for over 20 years now, which again, based on just annual inflation, is extraordinary that they have been able to continue to keep the wholesale power rate of what it is. So,
Julie.
And there's been rebates on top of that to bring it down below.
So, absolutely.
Yes.
Substantial in the last several years.
There will not be this year.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a good.
It's an extraordinary thing. And that, I believe, is actually it.
Sounds good. Kim, anything else for your report?
No.
All right. Any mayor or assembly business? Anybody have any reports? Julie?
Yes. I wanted to say that this Sunday will be Wrangell's first triathlon held. It's going to be a new annual event organized by Nick Howell. He's done a tremendous amount of work to get this first one off the ground. And in fact, yesterday he biked, and swam twice the distance in an effort to raise $2,500 to put the event on. So I just want to say thank you to Nick, and I think the community owes him a big one. Hopefully he's resting on the couch today. And then secondly, this is... in July, this is not a city business item. I'm going to a conference around new energy research in Colorado. But I will be there with sort of experts in every sector of the energy industry. And I'll be poking around to see if there's some things, some nuggets and some context that might be able to bring.